Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You've come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Shike.
Hey people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Shike. Thanks for joining us on the podcast today. Well, today we're going to travel. We're going to go to Corinth, which is a pretty famous biblical city in the sense that we have 1st and 2nd Corinthians in the scriptures. And actually, truth be told, it's the sense of those who study these things that Paul wrote at least 4 letters to the Corinthian church. Only 2 of them survive. So Paul had quite a lot of correspondence with the church in Corinth, and actually was there on his 2nd missionary journey for about 18 months or so, and then back again on his 3rd missionary journey. So Paul had quite a bit of interaction with the Christians in Corinth. So let's take a look, first of all, at a little bit of the history of the city and kind of what Corinth is known for. I have if you're watching on YouTube, I have a map here of the 2nd missionary journey, and you'll see that Paul went to Corinth directly from the city of Athens. And as we learned when we listened to the podcast on Athens, Paul went to Athens, didn't stay there very long, had a somewhat successful ministry there, but didn't stay very long, seemed to want to leave Athens pretty quickly, was not forced out of Athens, at least according to the scriptures, was not forced out by any great persecution, but rather went to Corinth pretty quickly. So if you look at the map, what you see about Corinth is that it is in the Peloponnese. It's across a little isthmus, which is hard to say unless you have an isthmus. It's right across an isthmus from Achaia, which is the province where Athens is located. And if you look at the map, you could see that if you were, let's say, on a ship sailing from Ephesus, and you wanted to get to Rome, or get anywhere really to the west, you could save yourself a lot of time by going across the isthmus. The problem was it was land. It was a land bridge, and you couldn't get across. So in Paul's day and prior to Paul's day, different governments had tried to dig a canal through the isthmus, but couldn't get through. And so they wound up, actually what they did in Paul's day was they took ships out of the Aegean Sea, put them on these big log rollers and rolled them across this little land bridge a couple miles, and then put them back in the sea. So it was quite a process, but even that was less expensive and took less time than sailing all the way around the Peloponnese there. So anyway, but Corinth then became a key city. In 146 BC, Rome leveled Corinth, just got rid of it altogether, but because of its strategic location, it wound up being rebuilt by Augustus Caesar, and it regained a lot of prominence. And by the time of Paul's day, so let's say we're talking here now, 51 AD is when Paul was first got to Corinth, there were roughly believed to be 250,000 free people living in Corinth and 400,000 slaves. So a city of significant size and importance in the ancient world. Those significant cities would be Rome, of course, Alexandria in Egypt, Ephesus on the western shore of modern-day Turkey in Asia, and Corinth. So those were the big, big cities. Also Antioch in Syria. So Corinth was one of the major, major cities, far more significant than the city of Athens even in that day because of its strategic location there on the an isthmus between Achaia and the Peloponnese. You had the main god. Well, of course, so many gods were worshipped all over the place, but a significant god in Corinth was Aphrodite. And so there were roughly 1,000 sacred prostitutes in Paul's day that served there at the temple of Aphrodite. Typically, those prostitutes would shave their heads. So that shows up in Paul's letter to the Corinthians when he talks about the disgrace of a woman shaving her head there in Corinth. So while Paul was in Corinth, he wrote various letters. 1st and 2nd Thessalonians were written from Corinth, during Paul's 2nd missionary journey. So after he leaves Thessalonica, he comes down to, winds up in Corinth, writes back to those Christians in Thessalonica, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. During his 3rd missionary journey, Paul also writes the letter of Romans from Corinth, and we'll see an indication of that later on in the podcast. All right, so let's take a look at some pictures here of Corinth. Let's go ahead and take a look at what's there today. To get across that isthmus, a canal was dug, and it is just an incredible thing to see. You can kind of be on a bridge over top of it. I took this picture from a bridge over the canal. Beautiful water, but that's how not large ships, but ships of a certain size can get across, and from the Aegean over to the western side. So that's a picture of that today. And then here's a picture of the Agora in Corinth. If you remember from previous podcasts, if you listen to those, the Agora is translated marketplace, usually in the scriptures, but it's not. It is a marketplace, but it's much, much more than that. It's the central gathering place of the city. A lot of temples built there to various gods. A lot of financial transactions happened there, as well as judgments happened there. And this is a picture of me standing in the on the bema, the judgment. It's not really a judgment seat, but it is. It's called a judgment seat. It's a judgment platform there in the Agora, and this is where public judgments would take place. So let's jump into, let's see, Acts chapter 18, and we'll see what happens with Paul in Athens, or rather in Corinth. So here's Acts chapter 18. After this, that is after what happens in Acts 17 in Athens, Paul leaves Athens and goes to Corinth, and he meets a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come to Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius, the emperor, had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. So that's partly how we date Paul's time in Corinth, is Claudius had ordered the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them. Because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. So who needed tents in Corinth? Well, we already talked about the number of people that lived there, but also the Isthmian Games happened in Corinth in the spring and summer of 51 AD. So Paul, it appears, rushes to Corinth because for two reasons. One, he's a tent maker, so he can make tents for all these people to live since they want temporary housing as they're there for the games. But also because a lot of people are gathering in Corinth for the games, Paul has an opportunity to share the message of Jesus with people who will then take it back to their home cities. He doesn't have to travel to all these places. They'll all come to him, much like the United States today. How many internationals come to the United States today? All right, so Acts 18, verse 4. Every Sabbath, Paul reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. So obviously a synagogue in Corinth, where I don't think we had an indication of a synagogue in Athens. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, that is up in the area of Thessalonica, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. But when they opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent of it. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack you and harm you, because I have many people in this city." So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half. There it is, 18 months. On his second missionary journey, he stayed in Corinth, teaching the word of God. While Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews of Corinth made a unified attack on Paul and brought him to the place of judgment. We'll try to take a look at a map here in a minute, but remember, Achaia is not where Corinth is, but he's proconsul of Achaia, so really proconsul of the whole area. So we'll talk about this in a minute. But they bring Paul to the place of judgment. All right, so let's take a look. Where is this place of judgment? Well, it's right here. Gallio was standing right where I'm standing in this picture. That's the place of judgment in the Agora. That's why I had my picture taken there, because it's a very significant biblical spot. It's a 10 out of 10 that this is where Gallio was standing, and Paul was brought on the ground there where the picture was taken from to stand before the judgment seat of Gallio. Pretty amazing stuff, huh? All right, so Acts 18, verse 13. "This man, they charged, is persuading the people to worship God in ways contrary to the law," that is, to the Jewish law and to Roman law as well. Just as Paul was about to speak, Gallio said to them, "If you Jews are making a complaint about some misdemeanor or serious crime, it will be reasonable for me to listen to you. But since it involves questions about words and names and your own law," so you can see they were more concerned about the Jewish law here, "settle the matter yourselves. I will not be a judge of such things." And he drove them off. Then the crowd there turned on Sosthenes, the synagogue ruler, and beat him in front of the proconsul. So that right there is where this is happening. And Gallio showed no concern whatsoever. So let's go back to this. Why are they beating Sosthenes, the synagogue ruler? Well, speculation. This is speculation, but it makes sense to me. Maybe it'll make sense to you. That they really should not have brought these things to Gallio, because Gallio, it was like they took it to the Supreme Court first and didn't go through the local judge and the appellate court and the state court and the Supreme. They didn't go through the process. It may be that Sosthenes said, "Hey, wait a minute, Gallio's in town. Let's go right to him, and he'll stop this from happening. He'll stop Paul from preaching." And Gallio says, "No, no, you should have gone through lower courts first. You should have judged this yourself first. And then if something rises to the level where I should hear it, then I'll hear it." It's possible then that that's why the crowd turned on the synagogue leader Sosthenes, because he had perhaps misled them to take this right to Gallio first. So they beat him up in front of Gallio, and Gallio's like, you're not going to convince me. I'm not going to take this on. And so then Paul, verse 18, stayed on in Corinth some time, and he left the brothers and sisters and sailed for Syria. And of course, that becomes the end of the second missionary journey as he leaves and goes back. So let's take a look at that that map again, and we'll see here where Achaia is. Again, a reminder that Gallio is a proconsul of a larger area, but then Paul takes off from Corinth and heads back to Syria. So we know the port from which Paul left to go to Syria, and here's the port. Let's take a look back at verse 18 again, and we'll read that. He stayed on in Corinth. He sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at the port of Cenchreae because of a vow he had taken. So this is the port right here. A beautiful, beautiful port on the Aegean. And Paul takes off there and winds up arriving in Ephesus. And on he goes all the way back to Syria. So that's kind of the story of Corinth in the scriptures and what we can find there today. It's very interesting, interesting place to go and visit because it has such biblical significance. Not only does Paul stay there for 18 months, write 1st and 2nd Thessalonians there, come back later, write the book of Romans there, but also there's a lot in Paul's writings about, if you remember these things from Paul's writings, about finishing the race, about training his body so that he does not lose the fight. At the end of his life, Paul talks about he has fought the good fight, he's finished the race. All references to the Roman games that happen, the Greek games that happen in these various cities, in particular here in the city of Corinth. I want to go to the end of the book of Acts, or to the book of Romans. Romans 16, I think it's verse 23. In Romans 16, 23, there is a scripture there. It says, as Paul's finishing the letter to the Romans, he sends greetings from the people that he's with. And verse 23 says, "Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy," that is here in Corinth, "sends you his greetings. Erastus, who is the city's director of public works, and our brother Cortus send you their greetings as well." So there's the name Erastus. And I just wanted to highlight that for you because of this. Let's see here. In 1929, there was a sidewalk, an ancient sidewalk from Corinth that was uncovered. And on the sidewalk was a kind of cornerstone there, a stone in the sidewalk. And this is what the stone said, quote, "I, Erastus, the treasurer of the city, laid this pavement at my own expense as a sign of my gratitude to the city," unquote. Well, that's Erastus. We read about Erastus in Romans 16, verse 23. So it's always, I just love it when archaeology and scripture match up. And so you have archaeology and scripture matching up. Erastus, apparently a very wealthy person, paid for the whole sidewalk, pavement as a sign of gratitude to the city. He's the city treasurer. He's got access to lots of funds. And so if you think about what we've said about, for instance, the Temple of Aphrodite in Corinth, we talked earlier in the podcast about most of the temple prostitutes shaving their heads as a sign that they were temple prostitutes for Aphrodite. Apparently, many of these women were converted to the faith, but how do they get out of this being slaves there at the temple, essentially sex slaves at the temple? Somebody's got to buy their freedom. Is it possible? We don't know from scripture, but it's possible that this guy, Erastus, who apparently had access to a lot of funds, that he, as a believer in Jesus, paid for the release for freedom for these, for many of these temple prostitutes to be able to come then and join the church in Corinth. A beautiful picture of somebody, potentially, we don't know for sure, but I think it's a good possibility. Certainly he or others paid for these temple prostitutes to be freed from slavery, freed from their prostitution there, to be able to become free people in the city of Corinth and worship God in freedom. I think that's a beautiful picture. I'll end with this. This is a quote from the founder of Athenian democracy. So many years before Paul, a guy named Cleisthenes. He spoke at the Athenian Agora, and he said this, and you'll see why this guy is connected with Athens, but I'm talking about it here with Corinth. This is what he said, quote, "You are the," to the people who are making decisions there in Athens, he said, "you are the living body in this place. As members of this assembly, you are members of this body. As individuals, you have distinct personalities which make your contributions unique and necessary." How's that sound? That sound like something you read in Corinthians? In 1 Corinthians 12, perhaps, about how we are the members of the body of Christ, each one of us unique. And how can the eye say to the ear, you don't belong to the body, that we are all members of the body of Christ. So Paul kind of, again, uses concepts, things that were floating around in his day that the people were familiar with, and he uses those things and applies them to the Christian church. In this case, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he applies something that was said about the Athenian Agora and the democracy in Athens years before. All right, well, hope you enjoyed your tour of Athens, or Corinth, rather. Cities close to each other and yet different from one another. So hope you enjoyed your tour of Corinth. Pray that it's a blessing to you. Want to encourage you to write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let us know what you thought of this. And also, go to our YouTube channel, Eagles on the Hill, and just search for Eagles on the Hill and check out the playlist of all the different cities we visited with regard to Paul's missionary journeys there in Greece and Turkey. Right, remember that as we close, those who hope in the Lord will fly on wings like eagles. We know and claim that promise of God for ourselves today. Thanks for listening to the podcast.